Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to the Film Vault. That's Anderson.
Hey.
I'm Brian Bishop. Laughing in your ear because today we bring you top five Frank movies.
Frank films.
I feel like listeners of this show will know what you mean, but maybe there's some new listeners out there who are intrigued by what you mean by Frank films.
Apologies to everyone who's listening named Frank. It's just I kind of like the alliteration of it, and I couldn't use the real guy's name.
Oh, wait. Frank movies. Logan, please. Frank movies. We should not insult you. They're called
Frank films.
No. Oh. The whole idea behind
I got a
Frank,
lot of shit when this show first launched because I used to differentiate movies I liked by calling them films and movies I didn't like by calling them movies. And,
yeah, but
I was beaten into submission.
The fact they're for Frank should alone.
But,
make
but,
the movies.
But then we lose the alliteration.
Frank
I like the alliteration.
Frank films.
Frank movies.
All
right. Hey.
You guys need to settle this before tonight because I got to post this episode.
Frank movies is fine. I don't give a fuck. All right. Hey.
Frank films.
That's big news. All right. First of all, we're going to talk about the two big releases this week. We're going to get to that
Groupers
in a minute.
And?
No. We're going to talk a little Star is Born. Just want to get a little good look at you. Just want to get another look at you. And we're also going to talk Venom.
Are we?
We are.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Also, I want to get this off my chest. Got my first response back from a festival today.
Oh, and you're in.
And I'm out. Oh. It's a big no, which is fine.
First official rejection.
Yeah,
I
was supposed to not hear from these fucks until mid-January.
But
I don't know why
so
they
bad.
Were so excited to let me know. This is the one, though. It's the Miami Film International Film Festival. It's the one that I should not have submitted to. I didn't realize it until moments after I submitted. I sent a text to my lead actress because she's from that area. Said, hey, I just submitted to your hometown, or because she's from Orlando. So I said, your home state. And she goes, oh, no, Miami? I said, yeah. She goes, oh, you shouldn't have done that because they don't care about anything that's good or up and coming or like breakthrough. They only care about pretty things.
Oh,
and they're
like,
very
like studio pictures.
Very,
like,
very, very conservative.
Like, not a studio, but like, you know, like names. And yeah.
She said they're not even stories. Like watch half your movie because they're just very, very conservative. So wow. I knew this was already a no. So it's nice to get it out of the way.
Good.
Out of the way.
Not hanging over your head.
And I also had a very quality conversation with the head of the distribution company that came a knocking.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we're not out there selling yet, but they found us somehow.
It's awfully nice.
I think I figured out how, but
they looked on IMDb and found the artwork.
That's what they said. Talked to the founder for 45 minutes. My producer and I talked to her for 45 minutes, and she she disclosed who they do business with. They're kind of a finder for a much bigger distributor that we all know, and they want to do business. And if I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger because it's too early in the game, but if I do, like the fact that this product, this distribution company that everyone knows that's listening to this would have their name on my movie is just insane.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And she, all I'm hearing is front for a drug for drug
she,
money.
And she loved it. And
money laundering.
She really, really had a lot of great things to say. She definitely got it. She was very concerned at times.
She saw the picture?
She watched it, of course.
Oh, you sent her. Sorry. I thought she had this the first time.
And she also, she had some red flags. She was concerned that because the movie is concerning at times. We're talking about Groupers. And she talked to the big distribution company who she works for through, and she had them watch it. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is fine. We love stuff that's edgy. We want to be like cutting edge. So she said it's the kind of movie that cool people should know about. It's that kind of movie. That's what she said. So, that's that.
Congratulations. If nothing else, that's a very nice...
It's a nice start.
It's a nice feather in your cap, and it's a nice endorsement.
Nice start. So, Philadelphia, I will be there as this releases tomorrow night, and a weird, weird sales pattern for Philadelphia, unlike any other city I've done so far. Started off strong, started off hot, Brian. People were buying tickets left and right. Mm. I think I've sold one ticket the last 2 weeks, and the link still works. So I don't know what happened to you guys, why you got cold feet. Really appreciate everyone who bought a ticket early, but I'm hoping you guys got some last minute people out there.
If I know Philadelphia, it's the city of planners. They want to plan ahead of time.
I hope that's not the case. And then the following week, of course, Boston tickets still available. Tickets are healthily selling for the Boston screening in Boston, Massachusetts.
Speaking of which,
next week we'll be doing top five Boston movies.
Top five Boston movies.
In honor of me going to Boston for the first time and screening my movie there. So,
how offended do you think the Boston residents listening to the show are going to be hearing that show?
I don't know. I only picked really, really quality films. I love all mine. And I was a little bit, I will get into this on that episode, but in my research, I saw all sorts of people talking shit about the Bostonian accent. I, for one, love it.
I got no problem with Boston accent.
It makes me feel like...
I don't want to be around it for much.
It makes me
long.
Feel comfortable. Hmm? Like, you see a good movie that takes place in Boston, they're all talking like that, you just walk out with a swagger.
Yeah, because you know you can leave and rejoin the rest of humanity. Like, where if you were surrounded by it, oh my God.
I think they might be a little bit upset by you.
Oh, yeah, that could be offensive.
So let's get into it. What do you want to talk about?
First of all, do you want to talk about Frank Films, where the whole thing comes from? Because people might be confused.
Sure.
You have a friend. You have a story about a friend.
Yeah, it's a person I might have said too much recently, but this person is no longer in my
you
life.
Named his name.
But they may be in my life again at one point. And it's kind of like a running joke in our house when we see a terrible TV spot for a terrible movie. The wife will say, oh, that's his name movie.
Let's just say it's Dave.
Well,
it's
say
Dave
Frank. Movie. Let's say Frank, because that's what I did when I first told the story. So she'll be like, I'm like, how is that a movie? She's like, that's a Frank movie. Like, he'll go see it. And like, a lot of people like him will go see it and it'll do well. And I'm,
but
you're right, honey.
Define it a little more. That's just terrible. I mean, terrible is terrible.
The first movie that this came up with was Daddy's Home, I think it is, which is the Mark Wahlberg
right.
and Will Ferrell movie.
Right.
And I'm like, how? The first one. I'm like, how is this?
Right.
How is this a movie? And she goes, oh, that's a Frank movie. That's a Frank movie. He's probably very excited about that movie. I'm like, okay. Now, Frank used to be in my life. His name's not Frank, but, and I remember we were drinking one night.
Do I know Frank?
You met Frank.
Okay.
Frank was at my bachelor party.
Oh, I like all the guys at your bachelor party, except for a few of them.
He has a similar head to yours, and you can see it because he has no hair. So Frank, I love Frank, but Frank and I are no longer on good terms.
Is Frank me?
No, like, Frank, you were not Frank.
Is this even like a Brian? Is this a Brian movie?
You do love
what, the whole time?
Frank movies.
Like, I can't name this guy. He's in my life.
You do love Frank movies.
I do sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
It was hard to pick out just five. I'll be honest.
I got a 2-way tie for five.
I got a 20-way tie for number one.
Where was I going with Frank? I don't know. Oh,
you're,
yeah,
one
night we're up drinking one night, Frank and I, and he's one of the only persons.
The Frank.
People, yeah, the Frank. And he's one of the only people, I don't know, I just felt like telling him, this is probably five, six years ago, and I told him the whole premise of the next movie that I want to make, Battle at Skunk Skull. I told him the whole premise, and I remember just the confusion on his face as I discussed it with him. And like, when I finished my 3-minute, like almost like a pitch, right, telling him the whole, like all the different groups of people and what happens and how it all ends up, he just like, I don't know how your mind works, man. I'm like, all right. So I kind of wasted my breath there.
Imagine this character named Daddy and he comes home.
What?
Imagine, you should have explained to him thusly. Imagine there's a character who's a daddy and he comes home.
And he comes home to see his dad. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's just get right to it. Let's confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Anderson, you assigned me a film, but before the show started, you said, let's push that.
Yes. Full disclosure, we're doing two episodes here back-to-back tonight because I'm going to be out of town next week. So every now and again, we got to do this. So we're not going to have any new releases to talk about next week because we're doing the show tonight. We're not going to take a break and run out and see something in the future.
That'd be a very weird way to do our show.
It'd be tough, too, to pull it off going into the future.
The timing would be just right.
So we're going to talk about Hold the Dark next week.
Jeremy Saulnier's Hold the Dark.
Yeah, which is available now.
Which was assigned to me.
Yes. And we're also going to, I'm going to also be talking about Film Worker next week, which is a film about Stanley Kubrick, which my arm was bent and I finally sat down and watched it. So we'll be talking about those.
Why would you have to have your arm bent to watch that?
Well, I'll talk about that we get there. There's too much Kubrick stuff coming out and I don't like a lot of it.
Okay.
All right.
But let's make room for.
Instead, we're going to talk about A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born.
Apparently, now before.
Apparently I whisper movie titles.
We talk about A Star Is Born.
A Star.
Couple of the trailers that we're in Oscar season now. I think A Star Is Born kind of announced that to the world. Saw the trailer for Vice again, but this time on the big screen.
Looked pretty good.
And I did a quick search on my phone to see if anyone else is talking about this. But Christian Bale, sure, huge transformation. Let's be honest, he's unrecognizable except for the mouth. However, he might look less like Dick Cheney and more like George Costanza, and I think that might be terribly, terribly distracting throughout.
Well, we'll see.
He looks so George Costanza.
I saw A Star Is Born with Christy, and she was not familiar. I actually had not seen the Vice trailer, but as soon as I knew what it was, and I leaned over and I was like, "See if you can tell who the actor is playing Dick Cheney." And of course, she had no idea.
Well, she wouldn't know who he was if he was playing Batman.
Right, but I was trying to blow her mind. And then when it revealed, Christian
Bale.
Does
she know who Christian Bale is?
Oh, she does. Of course, yeah. Okay. She's an intelligent woman.
Also saw a trailer for The Mule.
The Mule?
Which somehow we missed.
Escaped.
Both of us completely missed. So I don't know if it wasn't on the same list that we were looking at, if they pushed it, if they pulled it. I don't know what's going on. But The Mule looks very intriguing. Mm-hmm. It's with Clint Eastwood. He directed.
Are you prepared to be let down like you are with most Clint Eastwood directed movies?
I know his style. I'll ease into it. Like, like a really, really hot jacuzzi. Like, I know it's going to be uncomfortable at first, but I know
hopefully
it
it'll envelop you.
Yeah. Because Clint's got a style. Huh? And his old manliness is really taking that to a new level. Yes. It looks, it, this
I
looks
do like
when
he directs himself.
You've seen Gran Torino.
I like the performance.
I like the performance. A lot of Gran Torino. I really enjoyed.
The movie wasn't fantastic. I didn't like, I mean, Sully was, you know, was what it was. It was 20 interesting minutes and then 100 not interesting minutes.
So anyways, The Mule, I felt guilt as I was watching this trailer going like, how did this one elude us? Elude both of us. And, you know, yeah. It might have at least got an also mentioned.
It wouldn't have made my top five, but yeah, we should have at least mentioned it. Yeah. The Mule.
I don't remember ever reading about it. So it's, and then I saw a lot of trailers.
There's a
for
chance
movies.
I would have dismissed it.
That are coming out in January, most notably the new Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston movie, which is a remake of that French film that you and I both very much like.
The Untouchables?
The Untouchables,
is that
yes,
what it's called?
I believe so. Yes, The Untouchables. And they made it now with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart for the American version, and it's called Upside. That's the title that we're all going to remember forever. Upside. Jesus Christ.
So much
title.
Upside.
What a horrible, horrible title. And that's got the big January release, so that's a big red flag.
Yeah,
so,
that's, that doesn't portend.
I feel bad because like Kevin Hart, like if I saw that on paper, I'd be like, oh look, Kevin Hart's gonna do some serious work.
Acting.
Yeah.
But and yet here we are.
That being said, the trailer made it look kind of interesting.
I didn't have the trailer in my theater.
All right, let's talk A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born.
We're gonna have to just because everyone's fucking talking about this movie.
It's in theaters now.
Yeah.
It's directed by Bradley Cooper, making his feature debut.
It's a love story.
Starring Lady Gaga, the aforementioned Bradley Cooper, Sam Elliott, Dave Chappelle, and Andrew Dice Clay.
Mm-hmm. Stunt casting.
Had you told me, I would enjoy every performance in this movie, including and especially Andrew Dice Clay.
Had I told you?
Would have called you a liar.
Oh, that you would have
had
enjoyed.
You told me.
This is also,
I loved Andrew Dice Clay. He was delightful.
This is a remake. This is the fourth time it's been made.
Fourth iteration.
And
I've not seen any of the Stars Are Borns.
Oh, you have not?
No.
I've seen clips of the Babs. The Chris Christopherson one from the
70s. I think I know the music from the movie.
And Barbara Streisand. Yeah. Hey, man, pat myself on the back for a moment here before
Please,
we get into
what
A Star
the show's
Is Born.
For.
I said it could have very well been into this microphone on this show years ago. Perhaps it was on the After Disaster. I hope that it's out there somewhere. But I'm a Lady Gaga fan. At least I was back when she was doing her Monster Tour, Monsters Ball. I took my mom and the wife to see her, right? And that first album's catchy. It's good stuff. Mm. I enjoyed it. I didn't brushed aside like my instincts told me to. I enjoyed my Lady Gaga. And something, she was very Marilyn Manson at the time. There was like a Marilyn Manson darkness tour.
I'm with you in that I initially was like, this girl can really sing. I can hear
her. And
once really
I saw her live, down in San Diego, and she started singing and she was doing this piano stuff. And I was seeing her on the big screen and watching. And there was something about her face and the way she was carrying herself. And I'm like, this she's going to be around forever. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be like this generation's Barbara Streisand.
Right.
That's what I realized.
And here she is.
And here she is, reprising her
role.
Star
Is Born.
She is this generation's Barbara Streisand.
91% Rotten Tomatoes.
This generation gets a much better version. Barbara Streisand.
91% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. That seems low. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'll be honest.
I absolutely fucking love this stupid movie.
I kind of did too.
I am so upset with myself.
I'm glad you phrased it that way, because if there's a criticism of this movie, Anderson, I'll see if you agree with me. It's at times, there's a few moments that are extremely tropey, bordering on cliche.
The trailer makes it look unwatchable. And it's everything that's tropey in the movie is crammed into that trailer.
It's the rock and roll lifestyle. It's the ups and the downs of the career. It's all the trappings. God, we've seen it in so many movies.
It's a very simple story.
I saw it in One Trick Pony with Paul Simon, where, you know, the career's floundering and they start, you know, going towards the pop angle, you know, and they're getting away from who they are. Mm. It's all those cliches. But for every one of those moments, and there's a few of them, there's like 5 or 10 moments of genuine inspiration. Like there's some really inspired, I'll just say it, some beautiful moments in this movie. I liked it quite a bit.
So I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm going to be, I'll be honest with you. I was crying a few different times during
so
the movie.
So was Christy and many of the bitches.
I had a lot of chills throughout the movie. And I'm sitting there going, first of all, scolding myself in my head, going, you dumb little bitch, what's the matter with you? I'm like, this is a fucking love story. It's predictable. And what are you doing? Why is this affecting you so much? And I want to give, first of all, obviously huge credit to Bradley Cooper acting in this movie, as well as his direction of this movie. Huge credit to Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. Those two fucking nailed it. Yeah. They're both very likable characters.
No pun intended. They were pitch perfect. They hit every note.
Every character in this movie, like Brian said at the top, every actor, they all... This is a movie
that... You can tell it was directed by an actor.
You could tell...
Well, I mean, all the performances
Bradley Cooper wanted to be a director to begin with, and he kind of fell into acting by mistake.
A handsome bastard.
But... It works on so many levels, and he took 4 years developing this, going like, you know, we hear about actors putting on weight, losing weight, and, you know, learning jiu-jitsu and all that shit. Like, he did the same thing,
but wrote the songs
for music.
Yeah, he learned to sing,
probably a little bit musical before, but like, he, you know, Willie Nelson's son taught him to play the guitar. He really threw, he took like vocal lessons. He really threw himself into this role, as well as into the movie. It was his dream, and he approached Lady Gaga. Like, he actually saw her singing Livia Rose at a function or something, and he's like, oh my god, she's the one. Almost like the way it happens in the movie.
That's right.
And so I'm sitting there kind of going like, what is that? How has this movie got its claws into me? Because usually I don't care for love stories. They don't work. I don't care for the chemistry.
The characters are drawn so sharply. Like, you believe there are versions of real people.
A lot of it has to do with this. Matthew Labatique, I believe is how you say his name, is the cinematographer of this movie. And you don't really notice it because it's so well done. But Matthew Labatique's work on this movie is phenomenal in the fact that it brings you into the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you're on stage.
It feels like one of my beloved music docs.
No, like it feels really good, though.
No, I'm saying like concert films, what I'm saying. Like, you know, really high production values, the big camera, all that stuff.
Matthew Labatique, he's most notable as Darren Aronofsky's guy. He's his cinematographer, if that gives you an idea of what this guy's skill set is. So there's so many oneers that don't even draw attention to themselves in this movie, and you don't even notice them unless you're looking for them. I think a lot of how this movie worked well is the way it was shot, you know, on top of the performances. This is one of those rare movies where everything is just done the way it should be done because everyone fucking cared.
Yeah.
And it totally comes off.
Yep.
And it's like Brian said, it's a simple tropey story. However, it's really two very, very converging stories.
Yeah, they spend equal time on
separately
the two character stories, really.
And they intertwine. And now the first half of this movie is pure bliss. Like, I was explaining to the wife, I told her that I loved it, and she goes, oh, I saw someone on Twitter say, you know,
she didn't see it with you.
No.
Oh, Christy wants to see it again.
We don't get to see movies together. Okay. We have very little time together.
I feel like Jillian would like
she
this.
She saw somebody on Twitter, not really shitting on it, but saying, yeah, I liked it. I wasn't bored, but I don't understand why people were freaking out. I'm like, well, that person just doesn't have a
heart. I think it's Nikki Glaser.
Heart. And I started to explain to her. I said, honey, this is what happened. This is what this movie did to me. I said, it put me in the shoes of a young starlet, and I was swept off my feet by this country singer. In my experience in that movie, I was actually swept off my feet by this drunkard.
By this outlaw country singer.
And I know exactly how that feels now. And it feels great, Brian.
I want him to carry me to the end of the film.
It feels so good. Now, the second half of the movie, much like the soundtrack, gets a lot less fun. I've been listening to the soundtrack nonstop.
Chris, you listened earlier today.
And the second half of the movie,
when I came home,
no less impressive, but way more of a drag. Mm. And I was talking to my very good friend today, Jessica. She's seen the movie 3 times already. It came out 3 days ago. And she, the second 2 times that she saw it, she just left at a certain point because it becomes a drag.
It's a tragedy.
But
like the overall arc of the movie,
we're not going to talk too much about that. And like, we should probably do a little bit of a spoiler.
We should.
Because I didn't see that. I didn't know the story. I didn't see that coming necessarily.
At a certain point, we'll do a little Patreon bonus, a spoiler filled talk about this, because there's certain things we can't discuss that would give a certain major plot points away.
Yeah, so we'll do that for the Patreon.
But at a certain point in the movie, you could feel it sort of circling the drain in a sense, like, oh boy.
But the depiction of alcoholism was so honest and realistic to me. Because, you know,
they didn't glamorize it.
I got twinges. Well, I don't think they're allowed to anymore, you know?
Well, not so much allowed, but you it's hard. It's kind of like I forget who said it, but the idea being like a war film, it's almost impossible to not glamorize war, you know, just the visceralness of the explosions and the shooting and the camaraderie.
Christopher Nolan was successful with a movie called Dunkirk last year,
but it's very difficult. Almost any war movie, you know, glamorizes war in some way.
Kubrick did so many years ago. Yes.
Anyway, my point is it's hard to not to glamorize drinking. It's fun. I want to watch people drink. Makes me want to drink.
You ever seen Leaving Las Vegas? I think
I kind of wanted to drink. Michael Figgis.
Paul Figgis. No, Michael Figgis. It's Mike Figgis.
Paul Haggis?
Mike Figgis.
Michael Figgis. Paul haggis.
So anyways, yeah, I guess that's about as much as we can say. I have a friend as well. I don't want to get too into it, but the bathtub scene, maybe we'll talk more about this at the Patreon episode, the bathtub scene, where he is fairly loaded and he has some curt words for her.
Choice words, some hard words.
Sounds and looks just like a very good friend of mine who is a bleeding alcoholic. Oh. And he was at the, he was also at my bachelor party.
Oh.
He got the strippers kicked out of the room, or the strippers left the room because he was taking pictures. Remember in Cornelius?
I like that dude.
Guy's sweet. He's sweet. He's pretty sweet. But when he gets really drunk, he gets so fucking mean and says things, and he sounds like that.
I put the over under of Oscar nominations at 8.5. We go over or under that.
I think that's smart. I think it's smart. I see it, you know, getting director, actress, actor.
Best song is a lock.
Best song.
Best picture,
a couple like Chappelle might, but I doubt it because he's not in it much.
He's in one scene. Two scenes.
He's in a long scene though, and he's great. I could see Dice Clay getting one.
That'd be a long shot.
Cinematography.
Certainly best song, probably best. I mean, I don't know if the score is so much, you know, the music.
You never know with costumes. You never know.
I could see multiple.
Editing.
Costume design too, just for that one scene in the drag bar. But I could see multiple nominations in the best song category. I bet more than one song gets nominated for best song.
It's a really, really good movie. It does kind of suck the wind out of you a little bit towards the middle part. Midway through the film, it changes tone a little bit, but there is levity throughout this movie too. That's another thing we should mention. It's not all lovey-dovey and sweet and saccharine. There's a lot of levity, a lot of realism, and it just fucking works. This movie
I could see this. First of all, finished number two at the box office, about half of Venom's total. Venom got 80 million. This got about 40 million. I could see this out earning Venom in the long
run. No.
Really?
No.
I think this is going to
happen. Unfortunately, I'm knowing too much about this kind of shit now, and I'm learning about. And Venom, like, I think it got over 100 million overseas already. Like, this movie.
I'm not talking international. I'm just talking about
domestically.
Yeah, domestically.
Maybe, because Venom's going to be a quick hit.
Yeah, and this one's going to have legs, man. People are going to go back to see this
worldwide. Venom destroys it.
Probably. Oh yeah, it translates internationally.
Does not care.
Yeah, they don't care about Bradley Cooper playing, you know, songs. I could see four or five songs that it could be legitimate radio hits.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know if radio hits exist anymore.
Well, you know what I'm saying, big hits on iTunes or whatever.
I know some of you listen to Ween, and some of you real hardcore Ween
listeners. You barely mentioned the songs.
You probably listen to Moist Boys, which is Dean's like side project that he does. Moist Boys. Moist Boys are sweet. The opening song in Star Is Born sounds like it could absolutely be a Moist Boys song, and Bradley Cooper fucking destroys, and the guitar riff
Black Eyes
is such a great song. Look into that if you guys like that kind of music. A lot of people are probably going to say like Soundgarden or something, and but it sounds way more Moist Boys than anything else I can think of.
I loved the it sounded like electric blues is the best I could sort of put it, but I loved that that was the song they came out with in the movie.
Oh, Greg Grunberg killed it. He was great. He was his driver.
No, he was great.
Friend of mine.
Is it really friend of yours?
No. Well, I mean, he used to be on Loveline all the time. Oh. We went to the Emmys together. And
no shit.
We're talking Greg shit about
Grunberg? I barely recognize
him. He's in Star Wars too. Like everyone loves him. Right. Everyone that's met Greg Grunberg loves Greg Grunberg.
I liked him in the movie. Yeah. But I'm glad they came out with that song first, because everything we knew about the movie from the trailers made it feel very country, a little bit pop. You know what I mean? I'm glad they came out with more of a harder edge rock song that really threw
that's
down.
That's how it opens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the song the movie opens with.
All right. Well, enough.
I'm glad we both liked it.
Yeah. I really wanted to. I had a dream scenario, Brian, where I was like, I announced that I saw A Star Is Born in Venom, and I'm going to open up with the movie that I like most. And then I would go right into Venom. Okay, Venom.
Well, let me say this about Star Is Born. The last thing is, movies often on this show, with me especially, but I think both of us, often suffer from too much expectations, over expectations, too much hype. And we had heard so much about this and seen so many trailers.
We first actually heard really good things about it from Listener X,
that's right.
A few months ago, probably. He said it was getting great buzz. And if it wasn't for that, I would just be completely ignoring this movie because the trailer makes it look, like I said, unwatchable to me, to somebody like me.
Right.
But
this is one of the rare movies that lives up.
I think that if you go see it on the big screen, and you know, you get the full big screen
definitely
experience,
see it on the big screen,
and you get the music, and you do get transported. And it's one of those rare movies, and a lot of it has to do with the
absolutely
with the way it was shot, I think, because you're in there. You're in there with the two characters.
Totally agree.
And that can really work sometimes, and sometimes it can be jarring and awful and might have something to do with the characters. But like Blue Valentine, I did not like it because I was suffocating with the cinematography. It was so extreme close-up.
But this also has a lot of spectacle. They had a lot of huge concerts,
the camera will
festivals.
Pull back, and you can see everything else. Yeah, and it was really interesting, too. Like, they shot a lot of that stuff at Coachella and at other like music festivals.
Stagecoach and whatnot. Yes, and this is also one of those rare movies that I recommend for a date night, because guys and girls will, I think, get a lot out of this equally.
The one thing that I, because this is probably eclipsing.
It's not a girl flick, it's not a guy flick, it's an everyone
flick. It's both flick, because it's two different stories and they're both equally compelling. Unfortunately, once the girl starts to eclipse the guy, though, as in real life, you know, the story becomes a drag.
Wanes.
Like, yeah, who wants the fucking chick to be up there at the top? I kid. So this might very well might be at the moment right now. I've surpassed Won't You Be My Neighbor as my favorite film. However, I don't know if this one has rewatchability for me. I don't know if I have any interest in watching this again. However, I do want to watch the original, which was acting rather than singing. And that's from 1937. I think I'm going to go back.
Oh, original, original.
Yeah.
Is that Judy Garland?
Yeah. I'm going to go way back. Way back.
Streaming on Filmstruck.
It's on YouTube as well.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I watched the first 10 minutes and it's awful. But I'm kind of curious. I feel like I should give it a tribute, you know, because it birthed this.
I'm with you. Christy, A Star Was Born from A Star Is Born. Christy loved it so much. She's like, I want to watch the old ones. I'm like, I don't think you're going to enjoy them quite as much.
I probably won't. I probably won't watch them, but it's something to talk about. All right. What else do you see?
I saw a film I was assigned, but we're going to hold The Dark Till next week.
Oh, so you only have two movies to talk about total.
I had two movies.
Tonight. For the two shows that we're doing.
I have other movies to talk about next week. You want me to
do a switcheroo?
Why don't you
talk about one? Yeah.
All right, hold on.
That's the whole point of this exercise.
I don't like where this is going. I don't like where this is going at all.
Otherwise, you're going to have three next week?
I was not prepared for this.
You could have three. You want me to just go into Venom? Because I could do that. Venom.
I was not prepared for this. I saw a film.
Venom. What did you see, Brett?
I saw a film.
What did you see, Brett?
This is 100% serious.
Seems like it.
What was the film that? What was the film you were saying that inspired the Frank film in the first place?
Daddy's Home.
Daddy's Home, 2015 film. Daddy's Home, directed by Sean Anders,
Brian.
Director of That's My Boy. I saw Daddy's Home.
Why are you gonna do this next week?
Because I was going to do the two this week. I was doing Hold the
Dark. He likes Frank films so much that he was doing research for them and actually watching movies.
Watch Daddy's Home. Starring Will Ferrell, Linda Cardellini, and Mark Wahlberg. Anderson, I'm not going to lie. I saw this a few weeks ago on a plane. One of the few films on the plane I had not seen. 31% Rotten Tomatoes.
Seems high.
Maybe a bit harsh. It's inoffensive. You know, it is exactly what you think it is. The idea being that Will Ferrell is a very dutiful, sweet stepdad to these kids and his new wife. But and her husband is a ne'er-do-well played by Mark Wahlberg. And he gets released from prison. And daddy comes home.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are thrilled. And Will Ferrell's like, whoa, what's going on? You kind of know where this is going.
Right.
Not much to enjoy in this movie, Anderson. It's very by the numbers.
Yes.
I'm not going to recommend too much. Mm-hmm. The most interesting thing by far was counting the actor redundancies. You know, I'm into the actor redundancies. That's when actors do things in multiple movies that are unrelated movies, but they do the same thing. For example, in this movie, Will Ferrell takes his kids, the stepkids, right? Like, so it becomes this arms race where, like, he's trying to outdo Mark Wahlberg because he's the cool dad who's come home, the motorcycle dad, the prison dad.
Right.
And the kids are like, oh, cool, daddy's home. And he's like, but I'm your stepdad. And it begins this arms race.
That's the same kind of thing going on with Modern Family at times.
Okay, so he's trying to spend more and more money on gifts, outlandish gifts, trying to outdo the Mark Wahlberg character at one point. He takes them to a basketball game. They sit courtside, right? Uh-huh. And, of course, Will Ferrell gets, you know, completely drunk, and he incoherently stumbles onto the court, making a total ass of himself. It's the second film where he's done, where he's played a man who got completely wasted at a birthday party and incoherently stumbled through it. Remember in Old School with the dart in the neck?
Mm-hmm.
I like you, man, but you're crazy.
I don't care.
Mark Wahlberg's character in this film apparently possesses a giant penis, making this the second such character he's played after Dirk Diggler and Boogie Nights.
That's great, Brian.
There's a moment, Anderson, in this movie where Mark Wahlberg's character encounters and is clearly intimidated by the tables are turned, you see,
yes.
John Cena. John Cena appears. He's like the new, like he's like the daughter's boyfriend, the daughter's whatever stepdad,
right.
And he's like totally intimidated.
Just to up the ante, yes.
It's a pretty, you know, you can see the joke coming a mile away. In Trainwreck, remember a guy in the theater, he's heckling John Cena's character, calling him Mark Wahlberg, to which John Cena replies, "I look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg." Mm-hmm. And here they are in the film together.
Oh, wow. That's my mind all over the
that
the
is by far
the studio.
Those are by far the most interesting parts of this movie.
Okay, great. I'm glad
the original Frank film, Daddy's Home, was seen by me and I should not be seen by you.
I don't think it's the, I guess, yeah, it is the original.
Well, it is. It was
that was the origin.
That's right.
I mean, it's not the original.
It's not the original Frank
but
film.
But it's what's, we want to be sitting here today.
What would the original Frank film be?
You know, that's not what we should have done.
Wow.
We should have done like, can you find the original Frank film? I think they made a lot of Frank films in the 50s.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's like a lot of those.
I don't know.
Cloak and Dagger and noir films and Bogart films. I'm sure some of those were seen as Frank films when they came out. Now, you
for
know,
dullards.
People are like, you know, falling all over themselves talking. Oh, you know what? The original Frank actor? Wayne.
John Wayne?
John Wayne.
Oh, like Hondo is like the original Frank film.
Can you imagine the mouth breathers like in the 40s going, oh, John Wayne got to move. I got to go, shit. I saw a kid on the news today.
True Grit of
I don't
the
like
original
to make,
Frank film.
I don't like to make light, but, you know, because he had survived the hurricane. And anyone listening down in the panhandle who's able to stay dry and you can hear this, hope
thoughts
you guys are
prayers,
safe.
But I actually mean it.
And they're interviewing this one family, who survived. They stuck around the trailer park home. I was trying to think of a nicer way to say it, but that's what it was. And it decimated. Right. So they're interviewing the toothless grandma, who's wearing an A&W shirt. Right. And then she got that weird, like, Southern draw, but it's like the Florida Southern draw. And she's like, I don't want to leave my home. Like, this is like live on CNN. Right. And then she like says some kind of like little, it's incoherent. I'm watching CNN live today and I can't even tell what it was she said, but it was like, she thought it was hilarious. Like it was her out. Like it was her punchline. She's like,
it's her catchphrase.
Yeah. And then she like just peels off.
Is a mic drop?
Yeah, it was a mic drop. And then she, the reporter goes, okay, well, let me talk to your son now. He's like a 45-year-old total redneck. And he's like, well, I wasn't going to leave.
He's a button-up businessman. It's Gordon Gekko.
He wasn't wearing an A&W shirt, but his shirt also had some big logo on it. It's just like, and they're in front of like a decimated Firestone tire place.
Okay.
That's where their little interview was happening. So he's like, I want to leave, but I wasn't gonna leave my mama. She wanted to stay here and try and hold down the fort. And what are you gonna do? I gotta take care of my mama. And the reporter's like, okay, great. Let me talk to your son now. Now they're interviewing third generation, 13-year-old large fella, large kid. Bless his heart, poor kid. You know, this is what I like about the kid. He's a realist. Oh, I feel like such a snob right now, but this is what he says. So the stupid reporter goes, were you scared, Johnny? Were you scared? And he's like, yeah, I was scared. And then there's just a pregnant pause. It's like, okay. And she's like, why were you scared? Did you think you were going to die? He's like, I did. I thought I was going to die. This is so great. I thought I was going to die. And I really want to grow up and be a construction worker. So I'm glad I didn't die. And I'm like, the kid's aiming low.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very achievable goal.
He's got a passion for construction
There's
work.
There's nothing holding you back.
And that was what kept him alive. That was what that was what he was holding on to. It kind of sounded like a snob
don't
right now. But it was some of the greatest realism I'd seen in quite some time. Really enjoyed it.
It was refreshing to you at Left Coast.
And then
Homo.
Kanye broke in the White House. Talking about crazy motherfucking Kanye.
What world are we living in?
I don't know. It's insane. What is this? We're living in a world where a movie called Venom is tops of the box office. My favorite working actor today, Tom Hardy, once again finds himself in a coveted role, which he covets because it covers his face. He likes
a coveted role.
A listener actually sent me a very interesting article, which I skimmed, where they dissect all the roles that he's taken where his face is covered and how it's got to be like an issue. Like 36% of like the time that he's on screen, his face is covered. Something
but this
insane
one,
like that.
So tell me, so Venom is the movie you're going to flick fest, but I would imagine that, because I've seen the trailers, the parts where it's Venom, the part where it's Venom, he's not acting. It's like a CGI thing. It's like
symbiote.
It's a CGI character. It's not like him in a Bane mask.
No. It envelops his face.
No, but what I'm saying is when you're watching,
he becomes the Hulk, but he's black with teeth.
That's what I'm saying. When you're watching Venom, you're not watching a Tom Hardy performance. You're watching
well, he's
a
still
CGI
Tom
character.
Hardy, but then he becomes It's like Mark Ruffalo. It's the same thing, right? That's still based on Mark Ruffalo's face and his features, but it's the Hulk.
Okay, yeah, I know, but it's not like, yes.
But this is worse because it's not Tom Hardy like at all.
Right. You're not like you're watching Gollum and like Andy Serkis, like a performance. You're watching a CGI, a cartoon.
The point is, dude, his character's on screen and then all of a sudden it's covered by this other creature, right? He's covering his face again in this movie. Way less than you might expect. This movie is a fucking mess. It's upsetting. It's absurd.
Is it PG-13?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely suffers because of the PG-13-ness. Because Tom McFarlane is not a PG-13 kind of guy, and he's the one that co-created this character. Right. Oh, Bill's Emporium's not going to like this, but I tell you the time that I got stuck on the phone with Todd McFarlane. Love the guy. Great guy. Talking hockey. Could not get him off the phone. Like, I had to go home. It was after the Pharrell show, and he was our guest, and I was talking to him. We started talking hockey, and I was like, okay, but I got to go. And
didn't he buy Barry Bonds' home run ball or something?
Yeah,
he's like a big...
Dude can talk.
Yeah,
Todd McFarlane.
Big sports fan.
So, we all know the story, right? It's one of those movies where... Tom Hardy is completely miscast, and it's very sad because he's acting his balls off. I felt bad for him throughout, but he's playing a character that he really shouldn't be playing. He's kind of supposed to be like a wiry guy, and he's kind of like, yeah, you know, and he's a reporter. Like you're led to believe that he's like a one man reporter who goes in and he uncovers things, and like people watch him. He's
reporter,
like, he's got like viral videos of investigative report. I don't know if we have a guy like that, but they created this guy, and then just like this little movie called Upgrade,
he's the poor man's Ronan Farrow.
Yeah, but he's much more visible
sure.
out there and likable. And then he goes and he interviews this another Elon Musk type guy, much like the character in Upgrade.
That's right.
As I'm watching this movie, I'm like, who stole from who? Mm. I know Venom's been around for a while, so I bet that the guy that did Upgrade, he stole from this. So I went home and I did a bunch of research. He claims he knew very little about Venom. Much like Werner Herzog claims he knew like next to nothing about Bad Lieutenant when he made Bad Lieutenant New Orleans. Right. All right, so as we're going through his life, and he's engaged to Michelle Williams, and she's fine. She's doing, you know, her thing. She's a lawyer. You see, like, he witnesses a robbery at his favorite Chinese liquor store where he's friendly with the lady that was behind the counter,
sure.
Right? And then his neighbor's an asshole and he plays guitar loud. So, and then, he talks to his favorite homeless person on the street. And as these things are happening, you're like, okay, so he's going to fuck that guy up as Venom later. Mm-hmm. He's going to probably eat that guy as Venom later. And it's just so fucking predictable and paint by number. And then when we do see Venom, it's not impressive. It doesn't for one moment make you think that you're watching a real life creature on screen like I did back in 1995 with fucking dinosaurs. Like, I'm watching a cartoon envelop my boy's face.
You should mention Ruben Fleischer, the director, director of Zombieland in 30 Minutes or Less.
Yes.
Also
and
Gangster
a bunch
Squad.
Of a bunch of forgettable stuff since. I didn't love Zombieland as much as everyone else. Let's be honest, it's because I'm not a zombie guy, I think. And it was pretty heavy on the zombies. And that Zombieland.
A lot of zombies.
Quite a few zombies in that movie. And they don't really do much for me these days. But by the time this movie finds its footing or thinks it does, it becomes a comedy like the second half, but it doesn't have the balls to be able to do so because it's neutered with its PG-13 rating and the jokes just aren't hitting home. But
haven't they learned enough now that like these R-rated films are what people want? Like Deadpool, like, was a huge
success
for a
reason.
This is
killing it, man. It's killing it at the box office, apparently. So somewhere with these two movies, Upgrade and Venom, there is a nearly perfect movie, and there's also a completely horseshit movie. But there are elements, Tom Hardy, which is so funny because Upgrade, the actor Green, looks so much like Tom Hardy. He's a Tom Hardy lookalike.
Who?
It's the guy that's in Upgrade.
Oh, sorry, I was confused. You're bouncing between the two movies.
I wish that we had more pull, and I wish that we had put together, because, you know, there's some very important things we need to deal with in this world, Brian, right?
And how?
And I wish we got everyone together for this very important cause and had everyone boycott Venom, as many people as we could get, and have them all watch Upgrade on the day that it opened. That would have been glorious. That would have been glorious. That would have sent a message.
Venom and Daddy's Home, almost the identical rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 30%.
People were in my theater were laughing, though.
Like, unintentionally?
No, they enjoyed it.
Like laughing at the parts you're supposed to laugh at. maybe they're just breathing through the mouths.
I've been seeing a lot of defense for this movie online.
Logan Marshall Green.
Logan, did you see? You haven't seen it.
No.
I didn't hate it. It wasn't like unwatchable. And in fact, I liked. Okay, yeah, I liked some of Tom Hardy's stuff. It's real easy to watch Tom Hardy, and I wasn't really bored. I was just annoyed that this. Remember in Upgrade when, without giving anything away,
you've mentioned Upgrade as much as you've mentioned this movie
because it's the same fucking movie, Brian. But one is low budget and didn't have much behind it as far as publicity, and it's great. And one is high budge, huge publicity machine behind it, and it's shite. And that's the world that we live in. But do you remember Upgrade in the kitchen sequence, without giving anything away to anyone who hasn't seen it? And he falls to the ground, then he gets back up.
Yes. The first.
Same shot in this movie. Same fucking shot in Venom. Mm. Someone's stealing big time here. So yeah, Logan Marshall Green is the Tom Hardy lookalike, but he's not nearly as cool as Tom Hardy.
Like he was the Prometheus guy.
Yeah, and The Invitation. Mm. But I implore all of you, if you have not seen Upgrade yet this year, it's top 10 for me for sure, unless there's just an unbelievable slate of movies coming out, which I don't believe there is. Upgrade, I continue to get emails on a regular basis of people saying, finally saw Upgrade, and holy shit, you did not overhype it. It's fucking great. It's the most fun I've had in the theater all year.
Is it available on streaming yet, or is it's not in theaters anymore, obviously? Oh, I watched it. I watched it at home, didn't I?
I think so. I don't know, Brian. I was not with you.
But you assign it to me, is what I'm saying.
So, yeah, Upgrade, it's got its problems. It's not a perfect movie. And Venom, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen. It's got a couple things that are okay in it.
Upgrade, we rent it anywhere.
You can rent it anywhere.
Anywhere.
You can rent it anywhere.
From Amazon to Amazon.
And honestly, by the time Venom ended and there was like a little bit of a twist and whatnot, I was like, I wish I was like younger and dumber because I'd probably be excited. Now, there's a chance that he has not signed yet, but there's a chance that Tom Hardy does this again. And, they have plans for three of these movies, depending on how well this one performs. Mm-hmm. And right now it's performing very well.
So far, so good.
But Tom Hardy might very well walk because, like I said last week, he was quoted as saying like that his favorite part of the movie hit the cutting room floor. You get the sense that there was some more fun in there and there was stuff that they just couldn't do, weren't allowed to do.
Yeah, they probably shot. I'd be interested to watch a unrated version, DVD, home video version.
At the risk of getting a very long, detailed email from Giovanni, listener Giovanni, I love
Actually,
Giovanni.
That's the only kind of emails he sends.
No, not always. Actually, recently he just sent me a link. There's nothing in it except for a link.
Really?
About how MoviePass is like, I guess, sending emails out to people saying, hey, if you don't respond to this email, we're going to re-up start your account.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got busted for that. Fuckers.
I haven't got that email yet.
But I'm going to need Logan's help. I need to get this cleared up real quick.
Who's Logan?
Logan, what is the character that's like a black Spider-Man?
It's Venom.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so different than this movie.
Yeah, I think they departed a little bit, but I think eventually the goal is to probably get those two together.
I thought they were the same, but then...
Yeah, evil Bobo Spider-Man.
The next one is supposed to be... Yeah, because there's no Spider... The cartoon, like, it's actually a suit, but
the character
black.
Tom Hardy plays is from Spider-Man, so... Mm-hmm. It's an arc from the Spider-Man
wasn't that
comics.
In the third original third movie, wasn't that Tobey Maguire's character?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what's his fuck?
That 70s show guy.
70s show. Topher
Grace.
There was a Toby and a Topher.
Yeah, Topher Grace was Tom Hardy's character.
Tobe and Toph.
So the next one, I guess, is going to have Spider-Man involved in it. And I just hope and pray that Tom Hardy's not in it. And unfortunately, if he is, I might have to go fucking see it. And, because I just love the Hardy that much. I love him that much.
You got a Hardy on.
You like the last Spider-Man, too?
I love the last Spider-Man.
He won't be in the next Spider-Man movie because they already have the villain for that one. But
you never know, like what they did with Thor. Like sometimes they reinvent these things and they're okay.
They fold them in.
I feel like if Venom was going to be in the next Spider-Man movie, they would have already started teasing that because that movie comes out next summer, this upcoming summer.
At its heart, this movie is like a buddy film. It just took way too fucking long to get there. And maybe that's because this is the first one, and maybe the next one will be a very successful, hilarious buddy film that I can actually get on board with. But it just was very distracting because of the Upgrade.
Well, think about the Thor franchise. They figured that one out. It took three films, and they figured that one out.
Logan, you seen Upgrade?
No, I haven't.
What the fuck's the matter with
Logan.
You?
Logan.
It's next on my queue.
What's the matter with you?
You got to see that.
My wife doesn't like action movies, so I only have the times when she's not home to watch those.
Mm-hmm. I get that. All right.
Should we mention the t-shirt you're wearing?
Yeah. Thanks to listener Greg from Pittsburgh. You know Greg. Actually, you've met Greg. Greg came out with his son,
Johan. Oh, yeah.
He's an associate producer on Groupers, and they both came out for Make the Bald Ones Suffer Night.
Of course.
Yes.
Greg sent a very nice note and a very nice gift, a couple of Mr. Rogers Neighborhood t-shirts.
Three of them, to be exact.
Three.
Yeah, there's one for Logan as well. I don't know, dude. Why are you whispering?
Very soft. Another very soft t-shirt.
Maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
Coming up next, we will go over the top five Frank movies.
I heard her crying when she thought that I was sleeping. Hope she's not thinking of leaving, though I could easily list the reasons. If anything, you could blame me. She's the one that keeps me sane. I'm the one that makes her crazy.
Anderson, people are getting their Halloween costumes through the click-through banner from Amazon.
That makes sense because it's the time of year, Brian.
Indeed,
it lines up with
the
calendar.
This is when you got to start thinking about it, right, pulling the trigger on your purchases. Someone got, you ever seen one of those crazy dinosaur costumes? Like a T-Rex is running at you?
Yeah.
Someone got one of those.
That's great. I saw it last week tonight.
It's inflatable.
Last week tonight, they had a bunch of them on there.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Last Man on Earth when he had his dinosaur costume.
And then there's that too, but that's different than what Brian's talking about.
Someone got one of those. Someone also got a girl's princess fairy costume set with wings, tutu, wand, and floral wreath veil. I assume that's something Tessa will be into. She likes all that girly shit. And then I realized that this portends bad things for both of us, Anderson, because I didn't know what Ben 10 was. I'd look it up. Apparently it's a thing or a person, but someone got a Ben 10 costume with a Ben Green jacket, aliens force. I don't know what any of this is. Logan.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Good.
Where are we in this read? Because I don't hear music, so I'm lost.
Other things purchased.
Oh.
On the Amazon.
Oh, that was just the prelude?
The prelim.
Oh,
other things purchased on the Amazon click-through banner include a martini mister. Oh, sweet. You spray the vermouth. You gotta get a little hint. A hint of vermouth. Do you want too much vermouth?
Yeah, you're supposed to just coat the glass.
That's what some people do. Some people do.
You know what?
Some people do an eyedropper.
And they... What?
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, you gotta be careful because you get any Visine in there and it's fucking
issues.
Well,
you don't use it on your eyes, all you idiot.
Issues.
Someone got an apple. Well,
usually they swish it around and then they waste, Brian. They pour the rest out.
They throw it out.
And it's like that vermouth, you know, if you're a vermouth company, you're fucking swimming in it.
That's the best thing ever. Well, that's a good news because if you're a vermouth company, you don't move that many bottles of vermouth because I have a bottle I've had for 10 years.
Yeah, and with the mister, you can have it for 20.
I use it two drops at a time. Apple iPhone 7 was purchased. Amazon Basics memory foam mattress, queen size.
Do you think you could tell the difference if I gave you one with and without for
100%.
Easy.
Let's try it.
Easy, Saumonier.
Let's try it.
Easy.
That's my only cocktail, so I've drank so many that I can probably.
That's your only cocktail?
I don't drink other cocktails.
What's the matter with you? You're supposed to go through phases. You're supposed to get like sick on it too many times. You're like, all right, I got to move on to bourbon.
No, that's a sweet spot. What?
Man, you're so such a normie.
Why?
Because you're like, I have martinis? One drink that I like, and that's the only I'm sticking with it.
No, I mean, it's the only cocktail I like. I drink.
You're supposed to drink to
I'll
the point
drink
where you
like
puke
a margarita here and there.
A lot as a child, and then you're like, fuck, I can't ever have Jack Daniels again.
Who's going to get drunk and puke as a child off of gin martinis? That's an old man.
I haven't been able to drink Jack Daniels since I was 14.
Kindle Oasis e-reader was purchased. A Logitech Harmony Elite remote. Samsung 1 TB internal SSD. Little Giant 22-foot Velocity multi-use ladder. Hoover. Oh, that's going to be tough. Hoover Power Scrub Deluxe Carpet Washer. Brother Genuine Super High Yield Toner Cartridge. Thermacore Dual Sensor Replacement Heater. Danner Men's Tachyon Boots. And Danner Men's Dromos Boots. PowerTech Warrior Gen 3 Tactical Flashlight, WeatherTech Custom Fit Floor Liner for Toyota Tacoma, Amazon gift card, $100, PetSafe Freedom Sliding Glass Door, Dog and Cat Door, Puma Golf Men's Ignite Power Sport Golf Shoe, Injuicy Adjustable LED Desk Lamp, Amazon Basics Nylon Braided USB Lightning Cable, Corsair Void Pro Gaming Wireless Headset, Simple Houseware Heavy Duty Clothing Garmin Rack, Pet Spy Dog Training Shock Collar, Starbucks K-Cups, Apple AirPods, and Nike Men's Air Zoom Rival 5.
Look at that.
That's pretty good. I had to race, too.
That was the first time you ever done that.
Race.
Well done.
I'm out of breath.
I'm not joking. That was pretty okay.
Thank you. I love Duff 10 things.
Here are the movies that were clicked through. This is the last time I saw Friday the 13th, Part 8.
Halloween movies.
Sicario, not a Halloween movie. Hereditary, Halloween movie.
Halloween movie.
Hearts Beat Loud, not a Halloween movie. Like Crazy, not a Halloween movie. Solo, a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I mean,
Star Wars story. Maybe
for little kids.
Yeah, a lot of costumes in there. And Predator was clicked through. So That's a lot of movies.
Predator. That's a Frank film.
Predator is a bit of a Frank film. Frank, a lot of muscles, testosterone. Actually, you know what? We'll talk more about Frank films in a minute. Back to the program.
Hey, it's someone you haven't heard from in a while. Rick Moranis on the Film Vault for AndersonandBryan.com. Yeah, welcome back. This is a real good news, bad news situation. The good news, well, for us, is that we have beer in our hands.
That's right.
Provided by whom, Anderson?
Tyler Mayer. Thank you very much for sending these over. I don't remember if we got the beers last week.
Sizable cans.
And he sent us these massive cans, and they're called Hog's Head, or some might call them Hog Shed. I believe it's Hog's Head, though.
This is the size of a small paint can.
Yeah, they're like
much larger than a Foster's.
Yeah, I don't know how many ounces that is. 32? It's probably 32.
It's one quart, 32 ounces.
That's 32.
Good Lord.
Let's get out of here by doing the show.
So thanks from Hogshead Brewery. And the bad news is we're drinking and we're doing two shows.
That's good news. The bad news is we're doing two shows and we're already drinking not even halfway through the first show. So next week should be a fun one, kids.
You know what? That was actually delightful. This is the, hold on, let me look at this.
Thanks,
this
Tyler
is the
Mayer
Hog Wild IPA. I took one whiff of it and I was like, oh, that's a very floral smelling IPA. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Okay. Actually, a very mild flavor. I will say not nearly as pungent as I expected.
Frank Films. All right, Frank Films. We're doing Frank Films. Now, not to be confused with top five guilty pleasures, because these movies are much more testosterone muscles glistening.
So wait, sorry. Start again.
These aren't. We have done top five guilty pleasure movies. Mm-hmm. There it could be some crossover. I would think a little bit, but these are all like the. I was thinking. I don't know about you, but I was thinking dudes. I was thinking
yeah.
guys.
Yeah,
I was thinking
like
expendable, like people that are excited about Expendables.
Yeah, not mine. Vary between the big broad dumb comedy and the big broad dumb action.
But, I went pretty much all action.
Yeah, but mine are going to be a combination. I think those are all layups. These are all. So the way I envision all of these are films I saw maybe a trailer and I was like, no, not really for me. Or, oh boy, I know where this is going to be. And was pleasantly surprised by how much better it was than I expected.
I, for the most part, like the movies that are on my list. However,
yeah, I like all of them.
My number one is embarrassing. And two, but it has to do with the time that I saw them in my life. Mm-hmm. And they are the dumbest by far. Like my number one spring, it was number three, for most of the week, and then when I did more research and I remembered and I learned about the actual plot that I had forgotten about, it is like one of the dumbest plots you'll ever imagine. Okay, so we'll get
you there. And I took a different approach to this, but we're gonna end up at the same place because all of mine are think about how bad these could have been, and in fact they are I think quite good.
All right, you might give me some shit about my number two, one and two then. So
all of mine have Rotten Tomato scores in the 60s, one in the 40s, which is absurd.
I didn't do that.
Absurd.
I got one movie on and two movies that have never been mentioned on this year program.
How is that possible? You want to go first?
I like my number one.
Okay, I'll go first. You assigned me this film many years ago when you were shocked that I hadn't seen it. And I wonder if you described it as a Frank film back then. Number five. Ooh, good way to start us off. It rhymes with Frank. Crank.
Yes.
Number five.
How did you not see this before me? This is a total Brian movie.
It is quite enjoyable. Written and directed by Neville Dean Taylor, I guess.
He's a stunt guy.
Jason Statham stars Amy Smart, Efren Ramirez, Dwight Yoakam. It's either an A or an F if you see this movie. There's no in between. This is either going to deliver exactly what you want or you're going to be very turned off by this movie.
Right. And it's funny because the second one was close to an F for me. It did not come close to it. It was one of those typical movies where it's like, the first one did well.
Oh,
everything that didn't make the, that we cut out of the first script because it wasn't good enough, let's just make a second movie.
Yeah, and I should point out that, like my number five, Crank, all of my Frank films are high concept movies. These are all movies that you can explain in a sentence or two. If you haven't seen Crank, you're not familiar. Jason Statham awakens with a device in his heart that someone explains to him. If you don't keep your heart rate above a certain level, this will explode and kill you.
Essentially Speed, but instead of a bus,
it's his internal organs.
And he had this really cool like futuristic armband that would tell him what his heart rate was, which is like a Fitbit.
Yeah. You're wearing one right now.
All right, but we didn't have those back then, right? All right, number five.
Ugh, Crank's really fun.
Number 5A for me. And then I had 5B as well, just because I all right, 5A. Movie's never come up on this year program, I don't think.
Impossible.
Directed by Rob Cohen, 1996 film starring Dennis Quaid and Sean Connery. Sean Connery's the voice of the fucking dragon.
Oh, is this the...
Dragonheart.
I am the last one.
Dragonheart.
I am the last one.
Yes, and they become friends. He's a dragon slayer.
I've not seen this film.
And he becomes friends with a talking dragon that has the voice of Sean Connery. It's an absurd film. Made for more of like the Frank nerd, mm-hmm. which I know is kind of a...
it's Francis.
It's pretty good, Brian.
It's a Francis
That's not
film.
Bad. Yeah, so well, what's the word I'm looking what? For there? The counterintuitive.
The Dungeons and Dragons.
But like a Frank nerd, like how is that? Military, Fresh Frozen.
What? Well,
Fresh Frozen is an example of...
Oh, I know what you're saying. What's oxymoron.
Oxymoron, yeah. Thank you, oxymoron.
Jumbo Shrimp. Military intelligence, right?
But moving forward, I would have never seen this movie, but it was the time in my life, mid-90s, when I actually pretty much, like, technically lived in a movie theater, because I would spend the night quite often, probably a couple nights a week, I would actually sleep in the theater. I was there all the time, and I saw every fucking movie that came out, and I went to see...
You had a girlfriend that was working at the theater?
She's the manager, and we just ran the... It was awesome. I loved it. And Dragonheart was actually surprisingly very touching and enjoyable, and I enjoyed this movie.
You've said off mic, it's the happiest relationship you've ever had, including your current one, which was a weird thing to say.
Because she was a manager of a movie theater, yeah, absolutely.
It still seems inappropriate.
I mean... Yeah. I've told my wife numerous times, quit helping the homeless with yeah. your social worker
Open
job.
Open a movie theater and we'll
and
be in bliss.
Start managing a theater.
We'll be living in bliss.
I can like you as much as the old broad that I used to bank. That was harsh.
That was, you shouldn't have said that. Off. Yes. It wasn't flattering.
Good thing she doesn't listen to this program. Number 5B for me. Any chance I get to talk about Reign of Fire.
No,
I'm going to talk about
movies.
Reign of Fire. Two dragon movies right off the top.
This.
Reign of Fire fucking rules.
It was on my Netflix queue for fucking years.
Reign of Fire just hits that sweet spot. It awakens something like primal in me. This is directed by Rob Bowman. And it is Matthew McConaughey looking super swole. And Christian Bale also looking super swole. And these guys are just taking out dragons and... It's a Frank movie in a
streaming
sense
on HBO.
They completely lie to you. Like the poster, just look at the poster. It's got Blackhawks going up against these fucking killer looking dragons, right?
I have a different.
There's
poster.
Not a single Blackhawk in the entire movie. Just
40% Rotten Tomatoes. How is that possible?
I saw this came. I saw in the theater a couple times probably, and then I think I told you years ago, but I was at the gym and I was on a treadmill, Brian. And I was watching, you know, flipping the channels, and then I landed on Reign of Fire was on. I'm like, oh fuck yeah, Reign of Fire! And you can't believe how swole Matthew McConaughey is. Like he looks like he's gonna pop. And I got so into it, I almost hurt myself on the treadmill. I was like, going, yeah, get them dragons, fuck yeah, let's do it. It's just
get
pure testosterone. Reign of Fire. I highly recommend that.
Logan's your Reign of Fire. Yeah. How's that possible?
So fun. It's so fun. And Bale and McConaughey. Two of our finest working actors today, they give it their all. Like, they're acting their balls off in this movie. It's a fun movie.
Take a sip. You have
it's
beer
a fun
in your
movie.
Throat.
No, it was my dragon.
You've written with Spitfire.
Reign of Fire.
What if before we started recording every week, I said you read a Spitfire?
That would be horrible.
It would be a Frank move.
It would be very Frankie.
Number four. I'm going a very different direction.
Frankie say relax, Brent.
Very different direction. Comedy.
I'm already drunk.
Ted. Ugh. 2012. Ted.
Ted
can be like
on next
Ted?
Week's list, too.
Oh, yeah. Boston Films. I know. I left it off my Boston Films list. Ted. You didn't put it. You like Ted?
Ted's Ted.
Oh, I like Ted. That's what it is. I laughed quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Actually, I didn't. It's like, look
really?
At it. Because you know what? It's just the same joke over and over again. Like, can you believe it's a cute little teddy bear and he's saying horrible things and he's doing terrible.
It never gets old.
It does. It gets
literally,
really old.
Literally never
it's like
gets
it's the
old.
Same problem I
actually,
have with Bad Santa.
Actually, no, it
it's
does
just
get
like,
old
oh, look, he's playing Santa and he's bad. He's drunk and he's being inappropriate and he's Santa. Isn't that weird?
So you know what evidence I have that this is good and it does get old? Ted 2. Because Ted 2 got old real quick because it was the same joke over and over again.
Yep.
But this film kept my interest throughout.
Remember the beat-off scene was funny, right?
There's a lot of good stuff in here.
It's just so Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thing.
I like Seth MacFarlane, but...
That's a real good thing.
Like, if it was South Park, I think I would have been in.
South Park almost been my list.
It would have been better.
Bigger, like longer, and uncut.
If Matt and Trey made Ted, it would have been... A lot better.
This is 69% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Too high.
Way, way, way too low. This has many big, big belly laughs. No,
number four for me, number four for me, Frank Films. This is a movie that I absolutely enjoyed in 2003 when I saw it in theaters. And it's almost like I'm shameful here admitting this. Did not enjoy Bad Boys. But Bad Boys 2.
Oh, no.
I actually enjoyed it. Oh, you know what? I just envisioned like the
I haven't seen any of your films.
The snob of Franks. The Frank snob.
Right.
Talking to his boys. Talking to his bros. Going, dude, you know what?
Bad Boys 2. Fucking bad. Better.
My favorite film.
You haven't seen Bad Boys 2?
No.
What? It's so good. It's so good.
How about the first one?
I have not seen any Bad Boys.
Oh my God. The first one's pretty weak.
They're making a third one now. Yeah, the first one is.
I guess I gotta catch up now, don't I?
Brian, two loose cannon narcotic cops investigate the flow of ecstasy into Florida.
Are they the titular bad boys?
Cuban drug cartel. We got Martin Lawrence, who's fighting ED. Like that's his side story. He's got like erectile dysfunction.
Do you realize how bad the second show is going to be tonight?
It'll be fine. Just hold your shit. All right. So here's a couple plot lines that happen in Bad Boys 2. They dress up as exterminators to fool the drug cartel.
Well, that's fun.
Then they dress up as ambulance drivers to fool, I believe it's the Cubans. There's Cubans in this. There's Russians. There's Haitian, all mobsters. And there's KKK. And it's not like a scary, like threatening KKK. It's more like...
See, look, it has everything for Brian. Have you not seen this?
I really got to come back around to this.
Oh, those silly KKK guys. They're trying to sell drugs and they're doing a silly job with it. They're just not doing it too well.
23% on Run Days.
Way too low.
2.5 hours?
The movie fucking goes down smooth. It goes down real smooth. It's very enjoyable. I got to tell you. Martin Lawrence.
It's like one of the all-time best action movies.
Martin Lawrence and Will
it's
Smith
23% of
kill it. They kill it. They're so much fun together. They're just, you love them. And like Martin Lawrence is like banging Will Smith's sister on the side. Like he doesn't know about it. And he's got the ED that he's dealing with, if I recall. Oh, and then guess who's the lead KKK guy?
Mm.
Michael Shannon. An unknown at the time, Michael Shannon.
I'm going to watch this tonight.
Fucking love
I'm
this movie.
This tonight.
Bad Boys. And I remember going, you know what? I hate Michael Bay, but
you,
that
you
movie
should
was
watch
pretty
the first
good.
Before the second, though.
I don't know about that.
I think the backstory is important.
I can't even remember the first one.
Well,
I'm picturing.
It's the characters. You gotta get to know the characters.
I'm picturing bros.
Let me guess, are they bad boys?
I'm picturing bros drinking.
Not both of them.
Drinking tall boys and having like a serious philosophical discussion about movies. And he's like, dude, a lot of people think I'm crazy, man, but. My favorite movie's not Bad Boys, Bad Boys 2. Just like fucking snobs do with Godfather.
That's right.
I will defend that guy to the death because he's right. Bad Boys 2 killed it.
That Frank knows who he's talking
much
about.
Much like D2. Mighty Ducks 2 fucking killed it.
D2.
Mighty Ducks 1, not so much.
I'm with you.
Bad Boys. How dare you?
It's like the Road Warrior and Mad Max.
Mighty Ducks 1 is almost unwatchable. Actually, it was on my TV because just like 3 weeks ago before hockey started up, I always have NHL Network on when nothing's going on. So it was on in the background, and I caught my wife sitting there totally enthralled because it's like one of her favorite movies. I'm like, honey, can we change the channel now? I didn't realize that Mighty Ducks was playing in my house. She goes, no, I'm in Joshua Jackson. And she watched the rest of it. Forgot how bad that movie was.
Is it like Little...
Mighty Ducks is a great movie.
It is not
is
great.
It like, is it Little Boy
D2.
Joshua Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, D2 is better.
D2, fucking. Dude, like Iceland? They got to go up against Iceland.
The first is a family classic.
All right. That's my number four. Bad Boys 2.
Number three.
BB2.
My lowest rated Frank film at 47% of Rotten Tomatoes, which is absurd. I think you and I would agree both that's about 40 points too low for Hardcore Henry.
Oh, really?
Hardcore Henry.
I wouldn't call this a Frank movie because
what?
It was an experimental film.
Oh,
and
man.
It went out on a limb.
It's a video game movie.
But it was done...
Dude, think about who
with
this is
live
for.
Action.
Think about how it was promoted. Think about who this is for.
Well, I think they were going after gamers and young teens who are gamers.
It's a Frank movie.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a Frank movie. They did a lot of very impressive things.
I guess it goes back to my ethos behind my list. Think about how bad this could have been. Like this,
I feel
this
it was
done
just straightforward, but the fact that it was done 100% POV was quite impressive.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Frank never spoke. Hardcore Hank. Oh, Hank and Crank.
You mean the best part of Black Panther never spoke?
Yeah, I think this.
Oh, wait, that wasn't him.
that was Charles Copley.
This movie came out of a short film that was like.
Yeah, I saw that.
Punks Gamers.
I saw that.
This was definitely marketed.
A few years before. A crazy Russian guy did it. Yeah, and I saw that, which is equally impressive. Like that short film that he did. Okay. All with
Ilya Neshuler.
It was soon after GoPros became on the market.
They were brand new.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyways, I kind of give you shit here because I don't think it was a Frank Mill.
Oh,
film.
Wow.
No.
Okay. All right. I. Thought it was a very...
It's a really good movie.
Thought it was a layup Frank movie.
47%.
Absurd.
You know what? I can see critics being concerned that this is the future of movies. I do have that concern. if
But this is really well done.
If this movie took off though and was like a huge smash hit, instead
how many iterations of this would be?
Instead of like Marvel movies, we might just have like all
A Star Is
first
Born
person
it's
shooting.
It's a POV. It's all crowd shots. Occasionally, you see a reflection in a glass.
No, it's just like Guitar Hero. No.
It's Guitar Hero.
Oh, I said this to the wife the other day. And I was serious, and she got so angry with me. She actually just got up and walked away. We're sitting outside. And I'm like, you know, I need to actually put on one of those headgears and watch one of these virtual reality things. I need to see, like, experience this virtual reality because, you know, it's kind of in the medium that I'm working in. It's like the same kind of medium. She goes, did you just say medium for, like, what you work in? And I said, yeah.
That's not an outrageous thing to say.
And she just got up and she walked away from me. She was so sickened by me. She gets really angry. Like, she hates thespians and people, like, talk about their craft. Wow. She hates it.
Well, medium works in this sense.
Kind of does, right? Like, that's probably the future of movies.
It's more of an industry term than it is a creative
term. Yeah. Yeah.
Media podcasting is a medium.
She got up and walked away.
I don't know about that.
She just left me sitting outside. It was a nice night. Crickets.
She thought she knew you.
Number three for me is Crank. It's already been covered.
Crank is so fucking good.
I looked down on Crank. I looked down on it as a Frank film for years. I refused. And I think a listener or maybe a few listeners finally broke me down and said, trust me, just watch Crank. And I can't remember how I ended up giving it a shot. But boy, am I glad I did. I just sat there with my mouth wide open going, how fun is this movie? Why do I enjoy this so much? It was just really fun. Inventive.
It is fun.
Clever.
And it's wildly exceeded my expectations.
And it just it keeps the pace going. The pace, yes. I don't know how it's they
relentless.
Did it. Very relentless and very impressive in doing so.
Coming up next, we will reveal the top two Frank films on our lists. It's perfect music for that. Next. BetOnline.ag. You might be thinking, what is that? BetOnline.ag is where you go to make all of your wagers, sports and otherwise. Anderson, they're doing a contest for some of us Podcast One hosts. Mm-hmm. I'm in a NFL Pick'em contest. You can actually check out at podcastonesportsnet.com. And I am 16-8-1 on the season, I think. So I'm doing pretty well.
It's not bad.
It's not bad, but unfortunately, there's some guys doing really well, and they're pulling away from me. I got to start going a little bit contrarian here.
Is that an NFL ref?
What do you mean?
In the league?
No.
No?
Why?
Because that would be plain dirty.
Oh, that'd be outrageous. Yeah. If there was
we
an
don't
actual,
have an NFL ref.
A replay official?
Yeah.
No, that would be outrageous.
Okay. All right, I want to make sure.
If they, in fact, participated in a gambling competition. But no, if you want to go check out the stats and the standings, go to podcastonesportsnet.com. If you want to do your own betting and wagering, betonline.ag is where you go. Use the promo code podcast1 and get, what is it? Is it a double bonus, 50% bonus?
October means one thing in sports. Excitement. NFL, college football, and now MLB playoffs. It's all here. Every pitch, every swing, every play is important. You don't want to miss out on the action and the fun. So head over to betonline.ag today to make your online wagers and take advantage of the best bonuses in the business.
Speaking of which, it is a 50% sign-up bonus at betonline.ag if you use the promo code PODCAST1.
Biggest names, biggest teams, biggest moments are happening all month long in October, MLB playoffs, NFL, and college football. Hey, yes. Brian, I'm talking to you.
What's that?
Look me in the eye.
I'm looking at you.
You looking to last longer?
I'm always.
Looking to go a few extra rounds, Brian?
I assume you're talking about boxing.
Go to BlueChew.com. That's right. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable blue pill that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. Check this out, Brian.
I thought these were only available via prescription, Anderson.
No, it's not true. You can now do it. Maybe takes you 3 minutes online, possibly five if you got slow fingers. You go online, you can get that blue pill. I'm talking about what used to be called Viagra, Cialis. You can get either one of them now because the patents run out and they have generic types that are way less expensive. And this is the first ever chewable kind. You don't have to chew it.
Not
you can
for me.
Chew it.
I like to swallow my pills.
They're sugar-coated. Okay. I've tried a few of these and it does really. Like, I don't have ED. I don't need to stress that because I don't care. I don't care if you guys think that it works or not, because it doesn't really affect me. I don't think I'm ever going to be in the bedroom with any of you. However, I do take it with the wife. You know, we're going to possibly have another child if we try hard enough. And it just makes a little more fun.
That's right.
It makes a little more fun.
A pecking step.
So they've got all the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you can pick which one you like, which one you want. Since they're chewable, they'll work faster than a pill. You can't take them anytime. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, which I guess was an issue with the other ones.
Where can one go?
And the stuff is cheaper. I already said that. It's cheaper. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use promo code TFV. Just pay $5 for shipping. So, I mean, you can get... I remember when it was a big deal if a guy like at a party had the blue pills.
Oh,
like
that was a prized item.
Because it was tough to get because, you know, the stigma and whatnot. Now anyone can have one for $5. You can have a few. You pick which one, which plan you want. You can get like a number of them.
A pallet.
They come within a week for $5 if you want to try this. So if you use code TFE, just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code TFV.
Boners. Oh, hi there. Welcome back to our show. We're going to talk about some Frank films. Specifically, our top two Frank films.
That's right.
My number two is comedy. It's comedy that I remember seeing the trailer for. I'm like, looks cute. I get the idea right away. I mean, cute in that, like, I know where this is going. I'm not expecting great things, but give it a shot. Boy, was I surprised. It ended up being one of my favorite comedies of all time. Old school. Old school. Come on, old school.
Hey, there's so many movies like old school.
A character
like, I love
called
you,
Frank.
Man.
Frank the Tank.
There's like nine movies that are could all.
But
be
this
kinda,
precedes them.
Yeah, this is the original.
This was one of them. This took a very obvious, high concept, broad comedy and totally works. Luke Wilson, Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell.
Very funny.
Written and directed by Todd Phillips.
Yeah, very funny movie.
Would you believe? Barely fresh. It's 60% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean it's a
this
lot.
This is
of,
a Frank movie though.
It is.
This is just a good comedy.
Yeah, but you can see, so with a movie like this, which we all agree is a good comedy, at 60% of Rotten Tomatoes, I think the critics dismiss these movies as like, oh, that's
fresh.
You know, lightweight.
Critics, though, I mean, I don't know, I just don't think the general audience thinks of this as like this in the same category as Daddy's Home. Like, I think because this was its own kind of movie when it came out.
In terms of quality,
nowadays, sure, you see a movie like this, it looks like what old school was, where everybody's trying to recreate old school.
The problem
but at the time
here,
it was,
what
like,
we're
it was
doing
a groundbreaking
is,
comedy.
Brian's trying to walk this line where he's trying to have movies that he really likes that are on there that are also considered Frank films. So he's picking something that he thinks is high quality.
Yeah, like
which,
Daddy's Home is definitely a Frank film, but I hate it. It was not very good.
That was like, we should have probably had a discussion like... Mm. You don't
have
necessarily have to like your top five. They should just be what you consider the most. But I, at one time or another in my life, liked all five of my movies. I say that before I disclose my top two.
I guess I consider Frank films more along the lines of guilty pleasures, and I'd never feel guilty about liking old school.
I understand
it just goes after
low hanging
fruit, lowest common denominator.
The way I thought about it, which
and
is,
it's definitely aimed at, you know, same as like Hangover. Right.
Hangover was almost on my list. And it's a quality comedy. It's just, you know, aimed at a certain crowd. Doesn't mean it can't be good.
With Frank movies, I went more with, as my list, you know, shows you, more like the, fucking let's get them, kill them all,
big
let
loud,
God sort
big
them
loud,
out.
Yeah. All right, well, to that point, to wit, what's your number two?
Number two for me. This is directed by the father of a man who made a movie called Mandy this year, George P. Cosmatos. George P. Cosmatos. 1986, Brian, I walked around maybe for a good 2-3 weeks with a matchstick in my mouth. I tried to pull
Christ.
It off, and I got so much nervous energy that I'm constantly chewing on whatever in my mouth.
This is not a good movie.
So like splinters in my mouth with the matchstick. Couldn't pull it off, but I wanted to because I wanted to be like Cobra. I fucking love this. Might be the last Frank movie that I enjoyed as a child, as a young person. It came out in 86, same year as a little movie called Platoon.
Did you
Platoon changed my life.
Did you take to cutting your pizza with scissors?
No.
Because that's an odd move.
It is an odd move. The whole movie is fucking odd. It's just Frank Stallone doing like his most Frank Stallone, not Frank, fucking Sly Stallone.
That's right.
Not his brother. Sly
He's
Stallone.
He's doing an impression of Sly Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone, yeah. Like Dr. Drew used to comment on certain female actresses and porn stars and say that they look like a female impersonator. Mm-hmm. Like Stallone is like a Stallone impersonator in this movie. Just wearing the sunglasses, the matchstick, like I said. He's like protecting this woman throughout, and the end death scene. I think it might have come up in my top five death scenes. It's very memorable, yet not very gory. Actually, when you go back and watch it, it's not very gory, but it's memorable.
This could be on your guilty pleasures list for sure.
Sylvester Stallone, Brigitte Nielsen is in this, as well as Renee Stanton, who's Poppy. Poppy from
Seinfeld.
Yeah,
but sloppy.
He's very unpoppy in this movie. And then Brian Thompson, who's just got one of those face for days, that he plays the cult leader, who's very, very creepy. I remember being scared of him as a child, as a youngin. But I really like this Cobra. It's a guilty pleasure for sure. It's a Frank fucking movie for sure. And I have a special place in my heart for it. Cobra.
It's fair.
I fucking love the Cobra.
I don't share the same enthusiasm, but I do recognize that it is.
You watched it, and you remember the pizza cutting scene.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, I'm very familiar. Carole is obsessed with this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't want it on my
list
anymore.
There is a Cobra poster in our studio.
So I had Ty at five. That's now my 5 and 4. Bad Boys 2 is 3. Crank is 2. And I have one left. What's your number one?
Number one for me. Wouldn't it be funny?
Sophie's Choice.
This I could see this being.
I don't feel like you understand.
I could see this being your number one. It's big. It's loud. A lot of shit blows up.
My number one's the best.
Okay, as is mine.
The best worst though.
Oh, okay.
It's a punchline.
Okay, no, mine's a legit great movie.
It's a punchline.
Okay, no, not at all.
Legit
great movie.
Rocky.
I could see. I when I saw the trailer for this, I was like, all right, well, this will be big, dumb fun. I can't wait to see this, and it was very different than I expected. Starship Troopers. Starship Troopers.
Yeah, I don't accept this.
Why?
Because this is a very deep movie, and they have many, many articles written about it online. And,
I agree.
And there's a
Do
lot
you
of theory.
Not think this was aimed
it
position.
It was sold.
For...
Paul Verhoeven got a budget for it to make it a big action movie, a summer blockbuster for sure. But there's a lot going on with this movie, and it works on
I
many
agree.
Levels.
That's why it's my number one. So the criteria, I guess you and I took a little different. Mine was these films that are very obviously positioned in a certain way. Well, certainly positioned as a dumb film,
it's
but
not
dumb, in fact, it is not dumb at all.
No,
it's
very smart.
That's why it's my number one, because it transcends the frankness.
Mm-hmm.
Like think about
see,
what
I could
this
see
film,
Frank going to see this and being bored halfway through, like more bugs. Give me more bugs. I miss the bugs, hey.
No, it's Canadian. It's Frank.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be apologetic with
directed by
accents.
Paul Verhoeven, who I feel like specialized at one point in Frank movies, making excellent Frank movies, just as RoboCop and Total Recall. You see where I'm going with this? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Those are great
but
movies.
But those are smart movies
but
as
those
well.
Are, those can be co-opted by the Franks of the world as like, that movie's sweet. It's like, well, it's a really good movie. I can see why you like it.
Yeah, but it's not Frank in the sense that my number one is a Frank movie.
Let's put it this way. So actually, my big inspiration for this was the way you described your initial, the way you described Frank films initially, which was you'd see something dumb on TV, a commercial or an ad or a trailer or whatever. You'd be like, who's this for? And the answer is that's a Frank movie. Frank will see that.
Yeah.
If you were to see a Starship Troopers ad on TV in 1997, you would have said,
I don't know if I would have, Brian. I would have been like, well, that's a new take on aliens.
No, you
giant
would not.
Fucking
no,
stink
you
bugs.
Would not have.
Giant stink bugs Woo-hoo! That like shoot acid.
Yeah, they're doing the Blur song, woohoo, and it's just blowing up,
I don't
and it's
know,
bugs.
Brian,
and
bugs.
Casper Van Dien is there, and Neil Patrick Harris.
It's Come new on, though.
Man. You would have looked at it. You would have just missed it. You know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm telling you, what if? That's my point. That's my point.
Okay. Starship
Troopers. We agree that it's a great movie.
So you don't have a 5 this week. All right. That's okay. That's number one for me. Brian, how do I do this? 1985. Movie's a fucking punchline.
Is it punchline?
This movie was also directed by George P.
Oh no.
Well, usually I'll keep the same director off of my list. I don't like to double up on directors, but I couldn't help myself here with Cobra, with doing the 1-2 punch. Cobra number 2, number 1, Rambo 2. Right. First Blood 2, Rambo 2. Holy fuck. All right, so the first one, not a terrible movie.
No, it's very different than what you think.
It's pretty much, you know, looking at PTSD and what it can do to a veteran.
That's right. And he's drifting through the woods of Oregon.
Yes, and it's actually well done. It's actually unnerving.
It's kind of a character movie, actually, character-driven film.
Cosmatos comes along and makes his Americans bleed red, white, and blue. You know what's funny is everything's so politicized these days, and I've read a couple articles now where people are trying to say that Craig Z. Zoller's films are made for like red state Americans, mm-hmm. and it's for people who hate minorities. And talking about Bone Tomahawk and Brawl and Cell Block 99 and the upcoming Dragged Across Concrete, which that argument having Mel Gibson and Dragged Across Concrete doesn't really help or hurt that argument, I would say. But back in the day, Rambo 2, this movie, like, if you want to make the argument and politicize everything, Rambo 2 is the ultimate like red state American. Mm. Same with Red Dawn. Red Dawn. Remember Red Dawn?
That's right, of course.
They remade Red Dawn recently.
It did. It didn't do well.
Here's the reason why it's just shot from number three, Rambo 2, which I actually kind of enjoyed. It's hard to watch this as a you know preteen boy and not kind of get your blood jacked a little bit.
Yeah, it's made for that He-Man era.
And it's absurd. I saw this with my dad in the theater, like many of these movies, and the number of bullets that fly his way that he dodges and never gets hit, one man against an entire army, that's absurd. But that's not the insane part. That's not the insane part. The insane part is this, Brian. He's in prison after the first one, right? Because he goes on like a one-man killing spree. He kills a bunch of cops, if I recall, in First Blood, right?
Yeah, I remember he's being hunted by the whole police force, Brian Dennehy and whatnot.
But he's released in Rambo 2. They bring him back a few years later, and they release him from prison. The government does. It's always the government. For a top secret covert mission to where? Back to Vietnam.
So send him back.
Now, here's the best part. Here's where it really gets
Isn't he going after like POW or something?
Yeah. So he was a POW, right? Essentially. He's got friends that are POWs. Those are his brethren that are still left behind enemy lines over there being tortured in tiger cages. John McCain's in there fucking screaming. And he's going back there.
It's a long time to be there.
Rambo is not... So the corrupt politician... What's his fucking name in this movie? Murdoch. Okay. Murdoch. He's the one who recruited Rambo, said, this is the guy we should get. However, we want him to go in and we will release him from prison on one condition. He has to do what we say. And what we say is, don't kill anyone. When we send you back to this horrible place that caused you the PTSD that had you kill like all the police and whatnot in the first movie, we need you to go back in there with a camera. It's just a camera.
Just document.
And I need you to document. Not only that, I need you to sell out your own like Vietnam vets, That's your right. buddies. And I want you to only take pictures of like empty cages to prove to the American people that there are no POWs.
Okay.
All right. That's what I need you to do.
I forgot about this.
Asking this guy to do that and really thinking that there was any fucking chance in the world that that would happen is one of the dumbest plots I've ever stumbled across. I don't remember it being that bad when I saw this movie, but when I'm reading about it this week, I'm like, that is the dumbest. It'd be like, what would it be like? I should have thought of an analogy before, but...
It'd be like asking a pedophile to go to a daycare and say, just go there and just observe.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah.
Here's a bunch of candy. Don't give it to anybody.
Well, it's like it'd be like going Silence of the Lambs too. Right,
Hannibal.
Hannibal. But it's an alternative universe, right? The feds, the cops, the government. They go to Hannibal's cage and they say, hey, we're gonna lay you at a prison. On one condition, you got to do this little thing for us, all right? You have to go to this fat camp, or it's nothing but teenage fat boys.
They're all marbled.
Yeah, and we want you to have a knife and a fork at all times, but you can only use it to cut their food.
Fat camp.
And work now, in the kitchen.
It? There's one instruction and one instruction only. Do not.
Oh, and there's not gonna be any adults there. You're the only counselor, and you have to have this knife and fork and a butter baster at all times.
And the kids are very sleepy.
Because you're the cook. You cook for them.
They're very sleepy and gullible.
How ridiculous is that, Brian?
I can't believe I have to even say this, but don't eat anyone. Anyone.
Rambo, Son of Rambo, actually, is probably the best part of Rambo. It's a really fun movie. I think I had you watch that, right?
Son of Rambo?
Son of Rambo. No. It's about the kids that are obsessed with Rambo. No. And the kid gets bullied, and then he becomes friends. They try and make a movie just like Rambo, because they're obsessed with Rambo. But they spell it wrong. It's Rambow.
That's good.
It's a really fun movie. Son of Rambo. You should watch that. I can't wait to not assign that to you.
I got to see Bad Boys 2 first.
All right. So that's my top five for Frank movies.
Logan, I want to hear the listener Rainbow top five. What do the listeners think Rainbow, the best Rambo. Or frankest movies of all time are?
All right. There's a tie for number five. Ugh. At 5A is Transformers. I'm assuming the more recent one.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the Transformers, the movie. Mm. Number four, sorry, 4B is Transformers 4A. And 4B is Crank.
Now we're talking.
Number three, Con Air.
Yeah, That's a good one. That's a really good one. There's just too many characters for a Frank to be able to follow along, I think. You know, Frank might be like, well, who's that guy? Why is he like
the
little
same
girl?
Guy?
Is that the same guy? Are we making fun of dumb people here?
We actually have the whole episode, yes.
But there's a lot of smart people who like horrible shit Frank movies.
More examples.
Yeah.
Number two, it's Independence Day.
Wait, did I just say that I was a smart person? Did I just
You implied
say
it. Yeah.
Independence Day, yes, definitely a Frank movie. It's just not good, except for the Area 51 section.
And the number one Frank movie, as voted on by our listeners, is The Rock.
Was that five?
I did not like
that was five.
That movie.
4A, 4B. Transformers.
5A, 5B.
Whatever.
Fine. You want? I can give you a sixth if you want.
Please.
Armageddon is number six.
There you go.
All right. Armageddon and Con Air are in the same wheelhouse. Yeah, but one's good.
A lot of sweet spot.
One's ungood.
A lot of sweet spot right there.
They're both ungood.
Thanks for voting, you guys. Let's gamble and get the fuck out of here.
I love what Ben Affleck said to Michael Bay about Armageddon. I brought it up a few months ago when I think Armageddon came up on a list for some reason. And he's like, wouldn't it be easier to teach astronauts to be like...
To drill
and send them up to the meteorite rather than to
teach blue collar
astronauts.
Oil derrick workers.
And Michael Bay said, please stop talking to me. Get away from me.
Such a great point.
I have to get to work on Bad Boys too.
I don't have any ulcer rants. I don't like this topic.
I have so many. It's a negative topic. I have so many. Hold on. Any good ones here? Oh, 300. Dredd should have been on my list. Mm-hmm. 300. Anchorman. Die Hard. I kind of expected.
The original Dredd, right?
There must have been some Die Hard votes on the listener top five. John Wick.
Also rants from the listeners too.
Deadpool. Mad Max Fury Road.
No, fuck you.
Dude, that
absolutely
is,
not.
Think about how that was aimed.
It is how it's marketed and what it is are two different things, Brian. Right. And that's not a Frank movie. Franks will go in there and they have gone in there and they're like, why the fuck is the one-armed bitch all in this movie?
The Rock.
Where's the dude?
The Rock.
Why is this one-armed bitch with a lot of short hair in here?
The Hangover.
Fuck her. Fuck her.
South Park.
She's mediocre.
Anyway, let's just gamble and get out of here.
All right. Oh, no, I'm getting drunk. We have a whole other show.
Last week, you
tune in next week
on Venom. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 28%. Anderson bid 55, and Brian 36. Currently,
you bid 55 for Venom.
Did I?
According to my notes, you did.
I thought I went way low. No.
I think you have those reversed.
Yeah, really? I went way low.
I can look at Michael Cole's spreadsheet.
Yes, please do because
I
went.
Check
low.
The official record.
I was definitely the lower of the two. Because I had heard horrible
55
things.
55 sounds dumb, and that would be me. That's a very frank guess.
Hang on, I'm going to double check this. Got it right here. Gambling stats.
So, guys, I'm ditching my wife on my anniversary to screen my film and be with you guys and hang in Philadelphia for the party that it's going to be.
What's going on?
Oh, you're right. What's happening? Anderson bid 36, Brian 55. I'm sorry.
Why is no one bought a ticket in 2 weeks? You guys are making me look bad. And I'm ditching my wife and my son on my six-year anniversary. It's the iron gift one, Brian. You're supposed to get your wife an iron.
On the sixth?
A gift of iron.
Like an iron? Like for clothes?
Something made of iron or Amherst is the gemstone you can get.
Yes. UMass Amherst?
Brian, no. It's a gemstone, not a college.
Well, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Venom has gone up to just 30%, making Anderson the winner.
Tight. All right, I already know what, just earlier today, in fact, I was texting back and forth with one of my editors, my buddy Chad Ice, and he thanked me.
I know Chad.
Chad thanked me for reiterating the fact that everyone should see Baskin, especially in the month of October, because it is a very creepy horror film.
No, I'm good.
And it is Halloween time. And you need to see a Turkish horror film because I don't think you've ever seen one.
Baskin. Karabasin?
No, Baskin. Baskin. No, like the shark, the Baskin shark.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Right. Enjoy.
All right.
Enjoy.
I'm really looking forward to it, I'll be honest with you.
There's a lot of meat grilling. It's unexplained why they're milling.
That'll be coming up.
They're grilling meat, Brian. If you can understand why, if you figure out why they're grilling the meat, please do let me know next week.
I will be flexing this in 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks. I see. Oh, that's a very fun still image right there.
Yeah, there's some of that, but don't worry. It's the lead antagonist, which is like he uses very little makeup. I think they just found this dude. It's like, look at him. How does he look like that? Is he really like a real? Was his mother a goblin? He looks half goblin.
I don't want to see
it's
it.
Unbelievable.
I'll be watching Baskin. In the meantime, thank you too.
Yeah, everyone should watch Baskin.
Oh, we're gambling this week, obviously. Duh.
You're gambling on First Man.
Ooh.
We're not going to be able to pay this off next week, though.
That's right.
Because we'll doing it.
We'll do it in 2 weeks.
Okay.
First man.
Saved in the edit. Says,
wonder what's going to happen.
Says
Harvey
Weinstein. Listener X.
Listener X said something else about it too. All right, I got mine.
What's yours?
78.
86.
You're such a cheating fuck.
I have no idea what... Well,
There's something about your face that tells me you're lying right now. So the dumb. Snort doesn't help you.
So dumb.
All right, well, currently...
You've won like three in a row.
The snort does not help.
The week before its release, the Rotten Tomatoes score, or with 198 reviews, so almost 200 reviews at this point.
All right.
Rotten Tomatoes score for First Man is 90%.
Beautiful. It's going to come down 4 points.
Such a lying prick. It's hard. It's hard to work with you, Brian, when you cheat like this.
You're the best loser. Thanks to Sam W. for the featured art this week. Well, we get some really great featured art, by the way. I want to thank all you guys for sending in.
Repeat from last week, too. Sam W. sent last week's art.
Oh, really?
But
that's not funny. I don't know. Is that Anderson's face?
Tis. Why does it look so horrible? Okay, that's
not funny. What is that a picture?
Why am I like half monkey, half penguin?
Where do people find these pictures of me? They're on my social media? Anyway.
Some of them come from when we used to take pictures every week in the studio.
That's right.
Those are still on the site and Facebook
and
stuff.
That. Yeah. That was the worst. I'm like, really finally, we're finished with the show. And it's like, picture time. I'm like,
when did we start doing the listener art? I feel like that was...
It's been a couple years now.
But was
a
couple. Was it after we...
five, I think.
Was it when we started the post-Orange Couch era?
Dude,
when
did we do the live show? That was like 2 years ago.
A year and a half ago.
At least.
I think it was
2 years
ago.
Tessa.
Oh, you're right. It has been 2.5 years.
I think we had just announced we were pregnant.
And how much listener art were you able to scroll through back then?
At least a year's worth. So, yeah, it's been 3.5 years.
It's been at least 3.5, 4 years.
That was the best part of the live show, seeing all the listener art.
We need to do another live show.
We really do. Where should we take it?
Chicago.
You want to go to Chicago?
I do.
Let's go.
I do. I want to do Chicago. Chicago has outsold all of the other venues other than L.A. So, for groupers. So, that's that.
All right. Maybe we'll come to Chicago.
Chicago wins.
Thank you again, Sam W. If you want to check out his listener art, go to AndersonAndBrian.com.
You know what sucks is Chicago is the first one that I put up, made available. So it kind of got my hopes up.
I'm
going to get
like
175
this.
People at each venue. And it has not been that. Not to say that it hasn't been great. It hasn't been great. It's been great. It's been absolutely great. And I'm very honored that anyone wants to come out and spend that kind of scratch to see my little
Your
movie
little
you
film.
Know nothing about.
Film.
But Chicago made me think, you guys are... plentiful, and you guys aren't.
It's a cute little genre flick.
You've not seen it, you
Glorious
fuck.
Fold, Kojak, The Sound Objective, A Winter Downpour, Union Specific, and The Shakers. They were our featured artists this week. Check out AndersonAndBrian.com to check out all of the featured artists, to click through the banner that's at the top, Amazon banner, AndersonAndBrian.com. Stars Born Spoilers over at the Patreon.
True.
If you want to subscribe, it's $5 a month. It is remarkably cheap, and you get a bonus episode and tons of spoilers. We're going to actually know a lot more of these. Now we got like First Man's coming out, although it's going to be hard to spoil that.
If you really like the show and you feel like you've been getting some heads up about
spoilers,
movies,
it's sets foot on the moon.
If we have enhanced your movie going experience or helped you learn about more about movies or see movies you would have never ever seen, you want to give a little bit back. The easiest way to do it is go over to Patreon. You can find it on our homepage, Anderson and Brian, and just sign up there. We're looking to eclipse 1,000 by the end of the year. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but that'd be fucking awesome.
It's an ambitious goal. You might be able to do it.
And you get a lot of bonus stuff, especially this time of year. You're going to be getting bonus little
That's
things
right.
in your feed every,
now it
every
begins.
Just about every week. And
now
we do a whole new episode each
begins.
Month. So extra for you guys.
The Film Vault on Twitter and Facebook. And until next time.
We do it for Van Gogh.
Guys, Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service.
Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free.
Oh, Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free.
What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV.
You can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today. So, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. Pluto!